Last week, President Obama signed the annual authorization bill for the U.S. intelligence community, making several changes to the way federal agencies and contractors deal with classified information and IT systems. Several of the provisions appear to be a reaction to the security clearance issues raised by the Edward Snowden case and by the Navy Yard shooting. Pamela Walker is Senior Director for Homeland Security at the Information Technology Alliance for Public Sector. She's been analyzing the final bill and joined me to talk about some of the provisions.
The government has been conducting an assessment, a study, and made some recommendations on how they need to improve the security background process for contractors and federal employees, too, for those folks that are cleared. And in the intelligence reauthorization bill for 2014, they basically carved out some things, some reports that they want done, but also requiring contractors to put in place, make sure they have continuously monitoring, taking a look at contractors, including that inside of their contracts, starting going forward after the enactment of the bill, to make sure they have security plans in place to do this continuously monitoring. The cleared contractors, the continuous monitoring capabilities, they need to do an initial report, get stuff in place immediately. For covering all the new awards, renewals, and extensions, for including that in there. And then, too, we were taking a look at some of the provisions. If you're going to continuously monitoring people, what are, you know, some of the technologies out there that they can use? And we're thinking, you know, they're going to start monitoring people's social media because that's a way to keep informed on what folks are doing, what's the latest in their life, are they having, you know, different issues. So we definitely can see that going forward. So, you know, folks should be mindful of what they're placing on social media. It's kind of like what college students coming out of school with employers taking a look at what are they putting on Facebook, what are they putting on Twitter.
That's interesting in and of itself. I mean, I didn't see any note of any sort of safe harbor provisions for companies who may knowingly or unknowingly violate their employees' privacy. So one would assume that the only things that they would legally be allowed to look at are the types of social media that are in the public domain, like your public Twitter feed or your public Facebook
feed. I would agree with that. It would be public things. It's not in the bill, but folks have hinted at that for a long time, that they need to take a look at the social media aspects. And, you know, I think a lot of this will come out when the procedures are developed by ODNI and they release what exactly they're going to be looking for to provide this continuous monitoring. And also they have to come out with procedures on how they're going to share any type of derogatory information, whether it's on contractors or employees, federal employees that are cleared, how are they going to share that information within the intelligence community? So that's part of the procedures that they will have to develop. We're going to definitely stay on top of that to see what's going to be coming out of there, what's going to be contained in these procedures.
And I just want to be clear, the continuous monitoring piece, this is not a reform of the security clearance process itself, correct? The initial clearance stays the same, but once you have your clearance, the company is responsible for monitoring your activities.
Yes. It's not reforming that whole, the security process is staying the same. It's just making sure that folks are continuously to be monitored. They do have to take a look at it, OPM and DNI. They have to come out with a report. I think they have like 6 months to do it, which will put them about January, on how they should take a look at the whole investigation process for people. How can they conduct an analysis? What are those costs and benefits? So they give them several within the bill, several things to take a look at for the content of the analysis within there, things from the clearance application process to adjudication. So there are going to be some reports that are due, but also taking a look at the reciprocity of security clearances, because that's something that's been going on for a while since intelligence reform of 2004, and then coming out with another report, too, on how do they do these reinvestigation processes, which they have another 180 days to do. So it's several sections that companies should definitely take a look at this whole security clearance reform piece in the bill.
Right. Another security-related matter, there's a new requirement in the intelligence reauthorization bill this year that requires companies to report successful intrusions of their networks to the government, to the intelligence community. That requirement seems to apply just to the IC in this case, but it's basically an expansion of what's already applied to defense contractors, right?
Yes. It's an expansion of what's already applied to defense contractors, which came out of, I think, the 2014 National Defense Authorization Bill. And so basically with here, though, the language is tweaked a little bit, in my opinion, compared to what was in DOD. But by looking at what came from out of DOD, they put out their rules back in November. It can serve as maybe a guidelines for the companies on what to expect. And so within there, though, they do provide some limitations on how the information can be shared. It's supposed to, you know, be kept within the IC community. They're supposed to find a way to make sure they reasonably protect trade secrets, commercial, financial information, to make sure people can't be personally identified outside of the perpetrators. And so they did provide some limitations on there. But the big piece is, because companies are already doing this for DOD, that DOD and DNI needs to come together to figure out a way to allow companies to only do one reporting. So they wouldn't have to do a report for report things to DNI, report things to DOD. They need to come up with one way. So some type of like centralization to make it easier for the companies to do this reporting. So they need to come up with a common elements that they're going to want for both communities, so you can report it one time. And I think that's not supposed to take place, when looking at the bill and there are different requirements and dates, until like January 2015 is when they're supposed to come out with that report. Mm. But like you said, this is an extension of what's being done for DOD. But there are, you know, some changes, differences to it.
And is there language in there that limits this just to national security systems, or do you have to report to the government when, for example, you know, your accounting system is breached?
No, it is supposed to only apply to the covert systems that is being used to process intelligence community information process, or a network that you're operating on behalf of the national community, national IC community.
Got it. And there's also a provision in there that would require the company to allow the government to come in and basically do an after the fact audit. How unprecedented is that? Do you see companies objecting to that and seeing it as intrusive?
Companies, you know, are concerned, but the same type of requirement was in the DOD bill too, to allow the government to come in and do their own assessments while the company's doing their assessments too, so they can do that forensic analysis to take a look at what's that malicious code, for instance. So, you know, companies are definitely concerned, because they don't want this broadened up to all of their networks, because they have other confidential information and client details they need to protect. So companies are concerned about that.
All right, let's try and hit a couple more in the limited time we have. We certainly won't get to all of them, but another security-related but not IT-related in particular provision is deals with reporting of waste, fraud, and abuse by IC employees, allows them explicitly to go to their agency inspector general or the IC inspector general as a precursor, I guess, to going to Congress. How does that contrast with the way the system works now?
Contractors can report fraud, waste, and abuse. It's ensuring, making sure that people understand that they can go there. They have that as an option to go to, so folks don't feel like they need to, I guess, take other routes to getting information out. Just see it as there's another extension for them to get out with waste, fraud, and abuse if they see anything that they're really concerned about.
Okay, and Congress also seems to be pressing the intelligence community to crack down on potentially duplicative software licensing in one of these provisions. Explain a little bit what's going on there, and to your knowledge, what's already been going on in the IC absent this legislation?
Well, basically, what Congress is taking a look at is, they know the government agencies are buying various licenses and software programs, and this is also going on over at DOD, too, where Congress has directed them to take a look at you know, how are you utilizing the licenses? Are you underutilizing them? Get an inventory of that. And I know recently the GAO, I want to say last week, actually came out with a report on how DOD's doing with their inventory to satisfy the requirement that Congress gave them in the 2013 to take a look at the software inventory. And so the IC community could actually take a look at what DOD is doing for theirs to see if that can provide them a roadmap for doing an assessment. And it's basically a way to get some of the cost under control so they can make sure they're getting the appropriate cost savings in procuring software. And like I said, DOD in their initial stages of doing it, and GAO says that so far for DOD that they're meeting their statutory requirements.